let's begin. So we're finishing off this last section here on page Kuf Lamed Gimel. Page 133, it's this add-on section. So, page 133. That's right, you don't have it in that one. I don't know why. All right. So remember, again, this was the Mechaber added this in from the Sefer Torah Hamagit about different hanhagas, different behaviors that really, really complement that which we have been learning until now. So let's begin actually tonight with paragraph Gimel. Now remember, again, we spoke about last week in Aleph and Beis the beautiful idea of V'yoshev B'socha Ohel. The idea ultimately that if we want growth in our Yiddishkeit, there has to be continuity and consistency. There's only growth where a person makes a commitment in an ongoing fashion. If I'm sporadic, if I'm in, if I'm out, if sometimes I'm engaged, sometimes I'm not engaged, then at the end of the day that doesn't work. It's only if we decide to consistently and constantly sit in a tent of Hashem, a tent of relationship, that's where growth comes. So we're just going to finish up this chapter tonight. This is Kisha Lomed, next piece. When a person learns, this is very beautiful actually, Tzarech Liyashiv Atzmo Lifnei Mehu Lomed. It says an incredible idea. A person has to really begin to focus on it, to think about, before whom am I learning? Before whom am I learning? What does that mean? Shalpamin, merachek atzmo belimudo miabori yisbach. This is an amazing statement. Sometimes, as a result of our learning, we move further away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, you hear a statement like that in the city of how craziness. How can you move further away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a result of your learning? So we know this. Meaning, Torah is really a double-edged sword. On one hand, again, Torah, if it's absorbed by a neshama, by a soul, by a mind, that is in the right state of being a mevakesh, the right state of seeking, the right state of growing, then the Torah is a way of amplifying one's ruchnius. But you know, if a person is very cynical, or a person is very sarcastic, so a person could easily go ahead and misinterpret Torah, and not only that, but Torah, if misunderstood, could fuel that cynicism. You know, we just had in Daf Yomi, in yesterday's Daf. So the Gemara was talking about the laws of a shovach, the laws of a dovecot. So then the Gemara was talking about the idea that if you find a bird within 50 amas of a dovecot, we assume it belongs to that dovecot. So remember again, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yirmiya asked, what happens if there are two adjoining dovecotes, so there are 50 amma areas, you know, what's the word?
Overlapping.
And you have a bird with 1 foot here on this 50 amas, a bird on 1 foot here on this 50 amas. So the Gemara says, Al do, afko me midrash. For that, they threw Rabbi Yirmiya out of the base medrash. Now there's a whole discussion exactly, again, what that means. But clearly, what they felt, although again, you know, the Arizal brings down that they really mistreated Rabbi Yirmiya. I mentioned this in Shir, the Arizal brings down that Rabbi Yirmiya's his repayment for that mistreatment is that he is the one who is privileged to ask all of the questions in the yeshiva shalmala, in the celestial yeshiva. Everybody says, learns Rabbi Yirmiya is the official question asker because he was so mistreated in Olam Hazeh, that's his reward. But the point is, what were they? They thought he was being cynical. They thought he was being sarcastic. How could you even have a havamina that he's in the base marriage to be cynical and sarcastic? Because it was like, it is possible to learn Torah and to forget God. Meaning, we see this all the time. Just like it's possible to be a behaviorally observant Jew and not think about God for a second. I remember what Shia was talking about this. But I really think this is true. You know, every generation has its nisayon. Every generation has its own unique challenges. So, like, I think, you know, I hear the story when my grandfather, Zichron Lebracha, came into this country. You know, so their nisayon was Shabbos. Shabbos, if you wanted a job, you had to work on Shabbos. I know my grandfather, Zichron Lebracha, lost his job every single Erev Shabbos because he would not work on Shabbos. And as a result, he suffered incredibly. Many others worked on Shabbos. And the truth is, we can't stand in judgment of them because that incredible, incredible crush of Parnassah. We feel that crush of Parnassah, and we don't even have those same challenges. And we're not immigrants, and we're here. We can only imagine how they felt it. So that was Shabbos, and Shabbos was a big nisayon. Today, it's not like that. You know, today, you could be a frum Jew, and you could be the special advisor to the Middle East. You know, if you think about it, I could be a Shomer Shabbos, and I could do anything in this country. There is nothing that is beyond me. There's nothing else beyond me. So if our Nisayon, and the truth is, it used to be that the Nisayon, the challenge of previous generations, was learning. That really was only the elite who were able to learn. Today, it's not true. Today, anybody can learn. Anybody, background, yes, background, no background, read Hebrew, don't read Hebrew. You go, so what's our Nisayon? I think our Nisayon is that we struggle with finding the soul of our Judaism. That we are wonderfully proficient and dedicated to the mechanistic and behavioral details. Sometimes what we struggle with is, do we feel our Yiddishkeit in our soul? Do I feel what we've been learning, a kirvas Hashem? Do I feel a closeness to God? Do I feel a dvekis? Do I feel a clinging? Do I say again, Ribbono Shel Olam, I always feel you with me, I always see you? And the truth is, we don't. That's the great challenge of our generation. And it's the amazing, amazing thing. Our challenge is no longer observance. Our challenge is now emotion and feeling. And so the Mechaber says over here, by the way, when I say our challenge is not observance, I don't mean that to say that observance is not challenging. I mean, it used to be that you had to choose between observance and a career. You had to choose between observance and money.
Is that what gave the dvekas? Is that what gave more the connection? The fact that today everything is so easy and accessible?
I think dvekas comes when you meet your challenges. So every dar has its challenge. So when you meet the challenges of your particular generation, that gives you your dvekas. So, you know, our challenge is, you know, I could find a minion of shacharis until what time? What's the latest shacharis in town? 9:30. I'm just assuming. Oh, you're the action. Right? We found it. Right in Miami, there's a 10 o'clock one, right? You found out.
Sure. Right? In New York, there's a 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock, you know. So I'm saying, like, if you think about it, like, right? And I could dive in Mariv, at 11 o'clock. You know, like, it's just not, and Baruch Hashem, we live in a big community, Baruch Hashem. But, you know, that's not our Nisayon. But yet you see so many people walking around. And they're hollow Jews. What do you mean by hollow Jew? Such beauty, such wonderful. But yet, again, the neshama feels empty. It just feels empty. So he goes on, he says, therefore a person, when he's learning, has to take a moment. Almost like you have to take a step back. And you have to remind yourself, by the way, why am I learning? I'm learning ultimately to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That I know it sounds strange, like, of course, why else would I be doing this? I could be watching whatever. But why? Obviously I'm doing it for God. No, you have to articulate it.
If you just say a person that's just part. He just comes in, he doesn't think. You know, you just go in, you're late to a chavrusa, and you just go in and you're panting and you're learning. So you're not thinking, there's no machshava, you're just sitting down and learning. So is that something that is marchik a person, or is that
no?
Or is a person just, if he's cynical about it, that's marchik?
I don't think, like, I don't think it's marchik. I think, you're not getting the full value of your experience.
So he says marchik
atzmo. He says marchik, but limudu means, I don't think it has to be so literally like you're distancing yourself from God. It means is you're not maximizing your experience. Uh-huh. That if I sit down, here's what he's saying. If I sit down to learn, and I don't think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu at all, there's a deficiency in my learning. Now again, so it doesn't apply to a shir like this. Obviously, we're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu the entire time. It means I go in, I sit to learn a Blat Gemara, I go to learn some Shulchan Aruch, whatever it is, things that are not necessarily spiritual or hashkafic, they're very detail-oriented. So you could see, meaning it's easy to learn a Blat of Baba Basra, and not think for a second about HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
That's like Shalom Birchut Chila.
Correct. So it's you could have that. And again, I want to be clear. If after 120, your biggest thing you have to answer for is that, you know, you didn't think about God when you learned, you're in good shape. But the reality is, at the end of the day, my experience is deficient. That's what he's saying. If I'm not thinking of me, because again, and this is so profound, because we don't think, you ask me, why do you learn Torah? Why do you learn Torah? Because a Jew learns Torah. Because we say, Talmud Torah, because the Mishnah, why do you learn Torah? Because the Mishnah says, Talmud Torah kineged kulam. The Mishnah says, No, the reason you learn Torah is because Torah is called the daughter of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Moshe gave us his daughter. And so as such, we use his daughter ultimately to come closer to him. That's the yisod over here. So he says over here, a person just has to think about that. So a person has to constantly think about this. Again, it sounds so simple, but it's so exceptionally profound. Don't forget about God in your Judaism. Don't forget about God. When I give tzedakah, right? Why am I giving tzedakah? This is very important. Why am I giving tzedakah? Avrachma v'akol masov, Kadosh Baruch Hu commanded me, right? Pasuach tiftach, I have to open my hand. No, I'm giving tzedakah for one reason. Because Yibon Shalom commanded me to give tzedakah, and by giving tzedakah, I come closer to Him. That's why I give tzedakah. It's not because of a humanistic idea. It's not because I feel bad for the poor. That might be one of the drivers. But at the end of the day, what drives me is, Kadosh Baruch Hu told me to do this, and when I do this, I come closer to Him. You have to think about God in everything in your Yiddishkeit. Dalit. Kishem medaber divrei Torah. When a person speaks words of Torah, yim machshavto kila'ino medaber b'fnei Adam, rak b'fnei habori yisbarach. V'yedabek b'machshavto bo yisbarach. So we'll say, so kind of following along this same idea, is that when a person speaks words of Torah, I have to view it as if I'm speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when I'm learning and I'm talking about words, or for that matter, I'm saying over a Varta, whatever it is, have in mind that the whole idea is, learning is an opportunity for Dveikus. But it's only an opportunity, it only creates a connection if a person thinks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If I'm not thinking about God, then by definition there is no Dveikus. So I could be learning, but there's no Dveikus. So when I speak words of Torah, imagine as if I'm speaking to the Ribono Shel Olam. So he goes on, he says, paragraph Hey, Yochol Adam Shudavak La'Bori Yisparach Karoi, Listakel B'chol Dover Shuro, said, a person who has true Devekus could look at every single thing. V'nirashe Mistakel Al Osa Dover, V'inu Mistakel Rak Ala Bori Yisparach. So we'll say point number five. Point number five is see God in everything. See HaKadosh Baruch Hu in everything. You know, a regular person looks at an object. A spiritually sophisticated person looks at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just there are different manifestations of the Ribono Shel Olam. Sometimes Ribono Shel Olam looks like a sunset. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks like a cloudy sky. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks like rainfall. Sometimes he looks like grass sprouting up. Sometimes he looks like a little baby running around with great vitality. The goal is see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in everything in life. And once I see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in everything in life, again, all of this is there to engender that sense of Dveikus. Paragraph Vav. Ma'ale gidola, kisha'adam chashev umahar her tamid belibo, shu'itza abori yisbarach. We'll say next, is that a person should always contemplate that he is in proximity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'makiv oso mikol tzedad. And ultimately, again, a person should feel As if HaKadosh Baruch Hu surrounds him on all sides. V'yihi adavu kol kach shelo tzarech liyashe b'chol pam, shu etzlo yisbarach, rak shiira bor yisbarach be'in sichlo. But said, this is amazing. Step number one is a person should always feel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on. But said, this is actually tomorrow's daf. The Gemara discusses in which direction you should daven. So there's a whole machlokah. Should it be to the south? Should it be to the north? Should it be to the west? Should it be Mizrach to the Beis HaMikdash? And Rabbi Shmuel says, you could daven any direction you want. It doesn't matter. You know why? Because Yibo Shalom is everywhere. So that's what he's saying over here. Okay, so we daven the direction of Yerushalayim for different reasons. But I'm sorry?
Well, we don't pass like that.
But again, you know, sometimes, even if you don't pass in like something, ultimately, again, the concept is so riveting. So what he's saying over here in Torah Samagid, he's saying that a person has to get to the level where I feel surrounded by a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Now you understand, this is all a progression, right? You understand? Meaning step one is consistency and continuity. If I'm consistent in my relationship with God, that brings me closer to Dveikus. If I look for God in all of my spiritual experiences, when I daven, I'm davening to God. When I'm learning with God. Step number three is I go ahead and I speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as if I was speaking to, I speak to God. Step number five, I was up to four or five. Step number four is I see God in everything. And then we come to step number five, which is to feel enveloped by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Which is about saying, you know, you can't make a conscious decision to feel, I don't think we can make a conscious decision to feel enveloped by God. Feeling enveloped by God is the byproduct or the result of all of the previous steps, where there's consistency and continuity, dialogue with God, learning with God, seeing God in my religious activities, speaking to God, seeing God in the world. The result of all of those, the composite of those behaviors, is feeling enveloped by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That I realize now that Ribono Shel Olam is with me and around me at all times. He says, and almost to be able to imagine God, to be able to see God next to me in my mind's eye. Because remember again, the world pre-existed us. The Ribono Shel Olam pre-existed the world, which means that the Ribono Shel Olam is by definition embedded in every part of the world. And this goes back to what we said before. My Iker Re'iyah, in everything I see in this world, I should see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'zeh Adam Zocha She'yifredu HaKlipos Me'alav. So when a person is able to do this, he's able to remove the klipos. Remember in Chassidus, we say that there are nitzotzos, there are sparks of holiness, sparks of kedusha everywhere. But sometimes those sparks are obscured or are covered over what we call klipos, what we call shells. The job of the Jew in life is to remove the klipos, to remove the shells, and to expose the light, to expose the holiness. He says, when we go through this process, we all have klipos on us. We all have multiple layers, multiple shells that obscure our personal holiness. When we go through this process, we remove the klipos. These klipos, these shells, these layers, are what create an obstruction between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they blind us to the point that we can't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Yachshov Shabor Yisparach Shofea Milamala Lamata Ayedet Sinoros Milamala Lamata B'chol HaOlamos. And a person has to think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly pouring down incredible divine energy, milamala lamato, from above to below, ayidit sinoros milamala lamato b'chol olamos, vanu holchim b'bori yisparach, v'gam shiyachshov shu tamid etzlo yisparach niskalel. Paul said the goal is just to recognize that the Ribono Shel Olam is around me at all times. He's on all sides. You know, the truth is, if you think about it, by the way, what do we say? Every night before we go to sleep, Kriya Shema Lamita, we say Mimi Michael, Mismoli Gavriel, Ifanaria, right? Vachorifal, Mirosh, Vaoroshi Shchinaskel. We say there are angels all around us, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on top of us. The angels are just the chilak of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What we say right before we go to bed is an amazing thing, which is Ribono Shel Olam, I know that you're all around me. I know that you're all around me. We say it when we go to sleep. Why? Because, you know, going to sleep is one of the greatest vulnerabilities. I have to give back my neshama to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So right as I'm making myself vulnerable, I build my confidence by recognizing that God is in fact all around me. And Rabbi say, even though there are times when I don't feel such a great sense of dveikus, and sometimes I'll be incredibly inspired. Rabbi say, what he's saying over here is something amazing. Don't think for a second that God only envelops and circles and is around me when I'm inspired. But when I'm not inspired, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll come back when you're in a little bit of a better state. No, the Ribono Shel Olam is always around us. He always envelops us. He always embraces us, no matter what's happening with us. Whether I'm on a peak or I'm in a valley of spirituality, the Ribono Shel Olam will say, if you think about it, I spoke with this actually this morning in my Tehillim Shir. It's one of the most comforting realities that no matter what we do, the Ribono Shel Olam always remains with us. We sometimes project, and because we feel distanced from ourselves, we project on God and we assume that God has distanced himself from us as well. But it's not true. The Ribono Shel Olam never leaves us. He never distances himself from us. We are never alone. He says he does. Right, there are psukim that, but Ribono Shel Olam is always by our side. What are we going to say?
Davening, what we say by Yom Kippur, what we say, well, we've strayed, right? We've strayed, and Hashem has led us gone.
Right.
But when you're not close, there is. Isn't,
well, that's even that. What's the
Anu Amachad, the last one.
Right. All right, it'll come to you in a second. But even that, sometimes we become alienated from our true selves. I know who I really am, but I'm not acting like who I really am. I'm acting like someone else. So person, that's the worst kind of estrangement, is estrangement from the self. But even then, we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, listen, you have to share in the blame for this. You let this happen also. But it's an incredible, you saw, Ribono Shel Olam is always by our side. And we're always enveloped. Whether I'm in a peak or whether I'm in a valley. I'll say, let's finish this. Zion. Lefamim, this is actually very beautiful. Lefamim, shochev adam b'mita. Sometimes a person is sleeping in his bed. And what happens? V'nira leben adam shu yashem, v'ba'oseh sha'am ispodit im habori isparach. We'll say, so sometimes a person could be sleeping, and what happens? Everybody looks like he's sleeping. He's laying in his bed, looks like he's sleeping, but in that moment he's not really sleeping. He's having a moment of hisbodidus. Right? A moment, ultimately, again, of connection, of alone time with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Zema drega gidola. Sheyira tamid habori isparach be'en sichlo. To be able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu at all times in my mind's eye. Kimo shem estakel al adam achar. And I will say, just al adam achar. The same way that when I look at you, I can visualize you. Chaplain life is to try to visualize HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to be able to see him. Lav dafka with a form, but maybe the better state is to be able to see him in everything like we've seen. The Yachshov, Shabori Yisparach Mistakel Gamkin Alav, Kimo Adam Acher Shem Mistakel Alav. And to always remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks upon us just as someone else will look upon us. We'll say, what's the pshat with this sleeping in the bed and it looks like I'm sleeping but I'm really awake? What it's saying is, we'll say, the ability to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not limited to times of great spiritual elation or great spiritual purity or great spiritual intensity. A person could experience a hisbodidus. A person could experience an aloneness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu whenever I open my heart to it. You know, as I mentioned this morning in the show, so there's a beautiful statement by the Kotzker. So somebody once asked the Kotzker, where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Where is God? And the Kotzker said, wherever you let him in. So what the Mechaber is saying over here is, look, person's laying on their bed, sometimes you have that moment, like when you go to sleep and you're actually, it sounds like you're too tired to go to sleep. Like there's so much on your mind, so you feel so fatigued, but like you want to close your eyes, but it's too much. Like it says in the Chabad, in that moment, if a person closes his eyes and says, Yibono Shel Olam, I feel you with me. I feel you with me. I feel your presence with me. I see you. I see you. Not in a form, or not, but I see you with my neshama. That's hisbodidus. It doesn't have to be some, you don't have to be in Uman, right? And you don't have to be in Yerushalayim, and there's wonderful places, right? And you don't have to be in the Beis Medrash, right? But at the end of the day, even a person's lying on their bed, if you open your heart to it, if you let HaKadosh Baruch Hu in, he's anywhere where you're willing to let him in. That's ultimately the Kirvas Hashem. That's the Dveikos Hashem. That's the connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We'll send Halavai. We should all be Zohar. All right, Tamir Hashem, next week we'll start the next section of his. Yeah. So, I always say to people, like you see people who sleep into. I experience every Shabbos when I get up to sleep. There are people who slip into deep trances of his bodhidus. It's amazing. I almost don't want to stop talking because you can tell, like, they're so entrenched.
You definitely feel that.
You feel it.
As long as they don't snore.
As long as they don't snore.
Shall we have a snore? Next year, Rob gives me like at minute 10, I'm going to say, good morning.